Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a jam-packed Friday show coming up for you. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area joining us in about a half an hour at 10:33 to talk about the Wisconsin Democratic Party Convention that's happening this weekend in Milwaukee. Yeah. Also, lots of Democrats running in assembly races, 97 out of 99 districts, which is the first time this has happened in a long time.
That is, and we'll talk about this when Dan gets here. It is amazing because just so many people are like, yep, I'm going for it.
I want to do it. Let me step in.
That's what happens when you get Fan Maps Friday.
Well, and it's always nice to have a fighting chance, right?
Yeah.
You know, what a wacko thing to do. And then I'm really looking forward to talking to Dan Schaefer about this piece in the Huffington Post with Wisconsin's most yelly politician, Derek Van Orden, I think, right? That's fair. He's our yelliest.
Derek Van Orden! That's how you say it. That's the only way he'll answer.
Yeah,
if you're like,
yell at him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's what he responds to.
Yeah.
And then at 11 o'clock, looking forward to this, there was a big article in the Washington Post last week about a Milwaukee public housing project.
Yes.
That is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mess. And Kevin Solomon is with Common Ground in southeastern Wisconsin, and he's going to be joining us at 11:06 to talk about what is happening at the College Court Apartments. It's got about 250 units, and it's a disturbing article and a disturbing situation. So we're going to talk to Kevin Solomon at 11:06. Then we're going to lighten things up a little bit. 11:33, we're going to talk about technological mishaps.
Oh, I got a story.
I had a problem with my laptop. Oopsie.
Calvin, do you got a tech story you can share with us later?
I'm sure I have plenty.
Okay. And if you have stories,
we want to hear them.
Yeah, how can they do that, Jane? How can they get a hold of us with their stories?
They can call.
Call us.
They can call. They can text at 855-752-4842. Or you can download the Civic Media app.
So the app is brand new. It's $250,000.
No.
Because you get so much with it.
You do get a lot of stuff with it. The app is absolutely free.
We are doing it all wrong.
It's already out there, Greg. We can't pull it back now.
What can you do on the app?
Download the Civic Media app, and then you are going to be able to play along with our Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest with some great prizes up for grabs, including hourly prizes, daily prizes.
Yeah.
We have two grand prizes, and you have lots of chances to win and enter your name. You have to do it through the Civic Media app. So we play this every weekday, today and then all next week, 7 a.m., 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 p.m. And a couple of winners already, Pam from Muskota and Holly from Madison, already picked up those Wisconsin Summer Dells prize packs.
That's great. Now, here's the thing, folks. I want you to listen to me right now. We need you to come through today. It's Friday. It's clutch. We're in week one. We are in a war. I say a war.
I would say a friendly competition.
I would say a friendly war with the Todd Alba Show.
Yep.
And we want to beat them.
It would be nice to beat.
With text messages.
See, Todd is beating us again.
Yeah.
I reached out to Sage, our owner, this morning because he didn't post him yesterday. And I said, did they just smoke us so badly that I don't even want to know what the numbers were?
Well,
now, the Todd Alba Show beat us yesterday by two.
Okay, folks.
By two entries.
And here's the thing is, most of those texters who texted us texted him.
So which
you
is
can
great.
Do.
Yeah,
you can
absolutely.
Do. But
tell somebody.
Tell someone. Tell a friend. Tell an enemy. Just tell them to text us. We got to make this work. I'm in a lot of money on this bet. I'm sorry. I didn't say that out loud, did I?
No.
I apologize.
We have a steak dinner, So the loser buys a steak dinner. Todd and I are going on the road next week. We're going to end up on Friday in Amory.
Amory.
And the loser of this, whoever gets the most entries, is the winner. So the loser has to buy a steak dinner at some nice supper club around the Amory area. So
I have a question as a producer and co-host of the show. And Calvin, I don't want to speak for you, but I know Aaron Zommers is Todd Alba's producer.
Yes.
And sidekick, if we win, what does Aaron have to do for us?
Boy, you guys are going to have to figure that out by yourselves.
Are you listening, Aaron Zommers?
I'm not stepping into that one. So anyway, the word you want to text will come next hour, right after the 11 o'clock news at 11:06. So be listening for that hour's word to text in via the Civic Media app. And then you too can be entered in this great contest. It's a lot of fun.
Did you say Muscaday by point?
Muscaday.
Apparently,
oh,
Wes,
did I mispronounce
Wes from Middleton said not to be that guy. But
Muscoda. It was Muscoda. Pam from Muscoda.
Muscoday.
Oh,
he's being that guy.
Oh, well, that, hey, if I said it wrong, that's fine.
Just, hey, I still called Shawano.
You can let us know when we're wrong. Just call Calvin, 855-752-4842.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to start off with NATO. And we have talked about NATO quite a bit.
Yes, we have.
And we have had numerous guests who have firsthand experience after 30 plus years, either in the Navy or in the Army. In our servicemen, we've talked to a couple of retired Rear Admiral. We talked to a retired Brigadier General about the importance of NATO and what NATO does, not just for other countries, but what it means for the United States and what it means for us globally.
Yeah. And this is something we're going to continue to talk about because these are, you know, Jane and I talked about this, and there are going to be points we are going to be hammering home between now and November.
Absolutely.
And NATO is one of them because
absolutely.
NATO is, as you said, important. And I don't want to say it's threatened at this moment, but there are people out there who would love to see us just leave NATO.
Yes. Including the former president.
Yes. And people who are in power right now in Washington, D.C.
We have a clip. Is this Steve Anderson?
This is retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson.
Talking about why NATO is important. Let's take a listen.
NATO is the most important and probably the most successful collective security agreement in world history. It has driven over the last 77 years an incredible amount of economic stability and political stability in the United States and NATO. And it's not an understatement to say that much of the things that we enjoy today in the United States came as a direct result of our NATO alliance. They allowed us to win the Cold War. They kept us from escalating the Cold War into a nuclear confrontation. The cultural ties, the political ties, the economic ties with Europe have been so vital to our success as a nation and our prosperity as people that live here. And it just can't be overstated. And so NATO, I mean, the thought of even leaving NATO, of not supporting NATO as strong as we have, is just preposterous.
Yeah.
Retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson talking about the importance of NATO. Again, he was in the military for over 30 years, and he's a Republican.
And yes, in his interviews with us, we've now interviewed him twice.
Yes.
He states it very clearly that he is not a Democrat, a liberal, a leftist of any sort. He is a Reagan, Bush, conservative,
yes,
Republican. And now, granted, because he's saying things you might not like, you're like, well, he's a rhino. He's not. He's a man with a great deal of experience, and he speaks from a place of truth. And we need to listen to him and his colleagues because this could be detrimental. I mean, I think I said this to you yesterday. The only thing I could compare it to at this moment, if we left NATO, would be like if we, like when Britain left Brexit or left the EU, it would cause a global shift.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
It'd be a problem.
Oh, absolutely. When we bring this up, because earlier this week, Marjorie Taylor Screaming Banshee Green introduced a measure to defund NATO. MTG, of course, a loyal Trump ally. She has long opposed military and financial aid to Ukraine. She says that NATO members don't meet their pledge to spend a minimum of 2% of their GDP on defense and that the U.S. is paying more than its fair share and footing the bill for the entire alliance. She does not understand how this works. There is no Bank of NATO.
Yeah.
There is no repository where countries deposit their dues.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. Yes, they are supposed to put aside a minimum of 2% of their GDP for their own defenses. As Steve Anderson told us, most countries do that. There are some who can't,
yeah,
and don't. And that is the reality of it. But it's not It's not like we're the only ones paying for this and we're helping out everybody else in the world and everybody else is just, all those other countries are just slackers, Greg.
Yeah, because none of them supported us during any sort of war efforts over the past how many decades?
Yeah, never. They've never come to our
Joe Biden's aid. Just sitting at the Resolute desk right now in Washington, just cutting a check, covering all of those, you know, those moochers. No, that's not how it works. But of course she doesn't know that. She doesn't care to know
Well,
that.
Facts are bothersome things.
Yeah. And yes, very bothersome.
A total of 46 House Republicans voted in favor of MTG's amendment to defund NATO, including Wisconsin's very own Tom Tiffany.
Good job, Tommy.
Way to go, Tom.
Our congressional delegation here, especially the GOP, I mean, the GOP, just proving to be a great group of people, forward thinkers.
And he's aligned himself with some of the best of the Republican Party, including Andy Biggs of Arizona, Lauren Bobo Boebert from Colorado.
Yeah.
We have Byron Donalds of Florida.
Got Chip Roy.
Matt Gaetz.
Ooh, baby.
Paul Gosar.
Oh, man. Gosars.
Paul Gosar. Debbie Lesko. Thomas Massey. 46 of them signing to defund NATO, including Wisconsin's very own Tom Tiffany.
It's like a who's who's of who cares. My goodness.
When we return, I'm going to switch gears just a little bit.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you want to see that full interview with Steve Anderson, I highly, highly recommend that you do that. You can go back to go to civicmedia.us, click on shows, to go to Matt Nair on Air, and then go back a little bit. Every episode of the show is up. It's a really, really wonderful episode.
Just search the name Steve Anderson.
There you go. And that will take you right to it.
Yep.
All right. When we return, as the legislature turns here in Wisconsin, stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter before we get to as the legislature turns. I do want to apologize. Wes from Middleton is absolutely right. I mispronounced Muscadet.
See, I knew there was a Muscadet, and I guess I wasn't paying attention when you said Muscoda, but
there's no Y on the end of it.
So, and this is my point.
They lost the Y.
Shano has an entire W that we just say, eh.
Well, just the English.
Who's heard of a silent W?
They should put a Y on the end of Muscadet.
I don't disagree. I think
just a suggestion.
Or change the name of Shano or call it Shawano. Either way, I feel like both of us are justified.
All right. As the legislature turns, always fun to see what's going on. This is in the 8th Congressional District.
Oh, baby.
Where Mike Gallagher just recently stepped down. And they're not happy with each other up there. The Republican candidates who are running, because they're going to have to primary each other. Yeah, they're not liking each other very much. Republican Tony Weed, who just got the former president and convicted felon Donald Trump's endorsement, Republican Tony Weed is facing accusations of misrepresenting his nomination papers while collecting signatures to get on the ballot. Here's where it gets a little complicated. A former Green Bay alderman filed a complaint alleging that people who were out at a farmer's market last month asking people to sign. They were told that these were documents to help support the homeless, and they were actually Tony Weed's nomination papers. So they're saying that people signed on to this and they didn't realize what they were signing. They thought they were something. They thought they were signing something else, and instead, they were signing Republican Tony Weed's nom papers. The former Alderman Tony Thiessen is also collecting signatures, by the way, for one of Weed's primary opponents, State Senator Andre Jacques. So there may be a little vested interest in there.
I really should have asked Calvin to give me a failure horn for this one, because it's just like you're asking for nomination papers and you're just saying you're helping the homeless. Dude, it doesn't. I mean, they're running for Congress. That's not enough names to stoop that low in the GOP Green Bay. You should be able to find that. You should have that lined up.
In the complaints, one of the circulators has been identified by name, and they have now challenged about 425 signatures collected by that person between the nomination papers for both the special and the regularly scheduled election for the 8th congressional district. The potential removal of these signatures will not drop Weed below the threshold to qualify for the ballot. So this seems like an exercise in futility then.
It's more of just like, hey.
It's a performative.
Yeah. It's not like, at the end of the day, you know, like no one's going to be like, oh, here we go. They're off. No, if it's just someone screwed up, they've got enough signatures. Let's
move on.
Yeah. It's like when people threw a fit when they're like, no, I can't remember his name. Right. A senator from Texas. Terrible person.
Ronnie Jackson.
No,
there's so many.
Senator from Texas.
Ronnie Jackson is a senator.
Okay, the other Texas senator.
Ted Cruz.
Thank you. People are like, he wasn't born in America. I'm like, yeah, don't just, would you stop it? Just stop it.
Thiessen asked in his petition that there be a thorough investigation into all of the nominating petitions submitted by Weed. He says these fraudulent signature gathering tactics violate Wisconsin law and affronted the Whoa. Republican Party's commitment to the rule of law and election integrity.
Did they giggle while saying that?
This is from the Journal Sentinel Online. It does not say snicker, 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 snicker. It left that part out. Weed's campaign calling the challenge nothing more than dirty political games, and that Wisconsin voters will see right through it. Career politicians will do anything to stay in power. You're not wrong there.
Yeah.
Just like the Democrats are trying to do to President Trump, Andre Jacques and his allies trying to remove Trump-endorsed conservatives from the ballot.
So this is, I mean, we are talking about it. So it's a thing. It's a story in the paper. But you just said nothing's going to happen because he has enough signatures. Only a certain... This is all for drama's sake.
So absolutely.
Someone can stand on a soapbox and place their hand on their forehead and go, oh, I'm being disrespected.
Such an affront.
Such an affront to the
rule of law and the fairness of our elections. That's a statement right there. And then, of course, the ongoing drama, much like a soap opera.
Yes.
Involving our favorite Assembly Speaker, Popcorn King Robin Voss.
Stand a hail.
That's his official welcome. They're still trying to recall him, too. Supporters last week, including, of course, former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, submitting more than 9,000 signatures trying to force a recall of Robin Voss. The bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission has to determine if there are enough valid signatures to trigger that. The first time around, it got rejected for having signatures from people in Arizona.
In Portland.
Yeah, like, that's not, no. Doesn't work like that.
But did they have homes, Jane? Let's do the real digging. Did they have homes?
In March, they had submitted more than 9,000 signatures, but the Elections Commission determined that only about 5,900 were actually valid. So close.
Yep.
So close.
And, you know, if anyone from that group is listening, I don't know if anyone in your offices are saying this, but say it aloud to each other. You could just wait and run your candidate in a primary.
Exactly.
Instead of looking like complete idiots. Like,
They look incompetent. They look incompetent.
Absolutely. There is a conservative radio show host who I will not name. He tweeted about this, and I said, "We agree. This looks terrible. First of all, your big misstep, your huge misstep, first out of the gate, Mike Lindell's your dude. When he shows up to your party.
Yeah, that's rarely good.
Go home. Go home. They're going to run out of hot dogs. Go home." Yeah, this is just so dumb. I want to see if they'll go for a third one. They try to recall him a third time within a calendar year. That's got to be a record.
We'd have to give him credit for that.
Yeah.
The soap opera will continue, no question about it, in our Wisconsin politics, and we are there to keep you posted.
Yes.
Let you know what's going on. We have news coming up, and don't forget, 11:06, our Scani Summer Text to Win statewide contest, your chance to win some great prizes, including tickets to see the Brewers, a couple of grand prizes, hourly prizes, daily prizes. There is a word we're going to tell you at 11:06 that you have to text in using the Civic Media app, and then you are in the running for all of that. So stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And just a reminder, coming up after the 11 o'clock news, we will have the Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win Word of the Hour. It's the word you want to text in next hour via the Civic Media app to get in the running for a whole bunch of great prizes. And we got such a really sweet text from off the text line. Listening, Sue and Franklin listening here on WAUK. You know you guys are my favorite. Don't tell the others. But I have to admit, I do enter the contest on some of the other shows. That is so sweet, Sue.
We are banning you!
No, we want you to enter every chance you get. We really do. Todd and I are having this very friendly competition to see who can get the most entries to win. But it's all in good humor. And absolutely, Sue, you and everybody else should be texting in every chance you get so you can pick up on some of these great prizes.
Heck yeah.
All right. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, the award-winning Recombobulation Area, joins us every Friday at this time. How are you doing this morning, Dan?
I'm doing well, Jane. Is there a way I can be part of this giveaway as well? Are guests eligible?
I think
That's a very interesting question, Dan Schaefer. We will have to talk to the official rule makers.
Oh, I'm the rule maker here.
You are not an employee, so
no.
As far as I know, I think you could enter.
If Greg's the rule maker, I'm in trouble, though.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't take him on.
Oh, ouch.
I wouldn't take him on. We're gonna start our conversation because he just came up in the first half hour of the show. Wisconsin's yelliest congressman, Derek Van Orden, is in the news, and there's a big piece in the Huffington Post about DVO. So what is he up to?
Well, Jane, it appears that once again, Wisconsin's congressman from the 3rd Congressional District is being unhinged and hyperbolic about something. I don't know if this is this news? I guess it's just, is it really what we've come to expect from one Derek Van Orden?
The news would be Derek Van Orden attends a meeting, acts professionally,
normal,
and gives really good ideas.
I think this is just kind of reassurance that he is behaving the way he has always pretty much behaved.
Yeah, I guess it would be news if it was like Derek Van Norden has measured sane response to Donald Trump 34 convictions, felony convictions.
That would be a headline.
That would be news.
Yes, that would be a headline.
Instead, I guess what we haven't said, that the headline from the Huffington Post, GOP representative compares Trump's conviction to Nazis' rise to power in 1930s Germany.
Yeah, that seems about right. Right on brand.
Yeah, I guess he made some comments on the Meg Ellefson show last week, talking about reacting to the news that Donald Trump was going to be convicted for held accountable for his actions by a jury of his peers in a court of law.
That's so un-American.
It's so un-American for him to have an opportunity to speak and defend himself against these charges. I guess according to Van Orden, this is Nazi Germany to face accountability for one's actions.
And I actually saw a quote from the former president, now convicted felon, who said he didn't testify because he couldn't testify the way he wanted to.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, whatever he says is generally above board and not
never
politically
have to be
advantageous for himself,
right.
or you know, denying reality or pushing falsehoods or anything like that. Certainly not anything we've come to expect from the former president. Yeah, I saw Van Orden in the immediate wake of the conviction last week. You know, he had some tweets out there comparing this to Soviet Russia. He had other things, you know, just talking about, you know, this being a sad day for America or whatever it might be. And it's just the links that these Republicans will go to defend somebody that they don't have to nominate for their presidential candidate. They could go with a number of other people to be their party's candidate and standard bearer who is not facing these types of charges. They went with Donald Trump, and now they're dealing with what all of that entails when you have Donald Trump as your party's nominee, as your standard bearer. You know, I think we're seeing in polling this week, the majority of Americans agree with this conviction and don't see it as partisan motivated. And I think all of the Republican spin on this has been pretty ridiculous, and Van Orden's even more ridiculous because it's taking it to such an extreme degree that you can't even begin to take it seriously because it's so far afield from what the reality of the situation is.
Yeah, you know, I've mentioned it before, and I'm not putting the responsibility on you per se, Dan, but like, I feel like you could be the one who writes the book down the road saying, all right, let's take a healthy review of the GOP, at least in Wisconsin, if not the country, on why haven't they just cut ties at this point? Why did they feel the need? Why did they fear this man specifically? Not George W. Bush, the son of that's a dynasty in Republican politics, not any other politician, but we decided that this was the guy you would fear. This is the guy who you would hook. I mean, I was telling you, Jane, I saw people who posted videos like a day or two after the conviction, and they said, I'm totally voting for a felon and I'm fine with that. It's as if you're saying also, we can't do better and we love it that way.
Well, and I also think, I don't know that they fear Donald Trump so much. They're afraid of his supporters. And as we've seen, the number of death threats, not just against elections officials and judges and clerks and people who, you know, were fingered for being stuffing ballot boxes and stuff and determined later that they did not do that. All those people have gotten credible death threats.
Yeah.
And I mean, Dr. Fauci talked about it this week. That every time Marjorie Taylor screaming Banshee Green mentions his name, the number of death threats he gets goes up. So I think they're afraid of their own supporters.
I think that's part of it too, but I also just think this is what Republicans want. This is the third presidential election in a row where Trump has been the nominee. And I think, you know, Greg, you mentioned former President George W. Bush. If you look at the two Republican presidents from this, you know, quarter century in America, who has the more lasting, long lasting impact on their party, George W. Bush or Donald Trump? I think it's clearly Donald Trump at this point. And I think the future direction of the party, the younger Republicans seem to have much more of an attachment to Trump than people, you know, perhaps in like 2011 or whatever it might have been, would have had to George W. Bush, which I think is really interesting. And I just think, you know, they had so many off ramps to get away from Trump over the last 8 years, and they've never taken any of them. And I think part of it is that fear of the, you know, what Trump supporters might do or say or whatever. But I also think this is the type of politics that they want. It's not, you know, they're not being tricked into it. They're not whatever. It's just, this is the politics that a significant part of the country wants. And I think that is a part of this too. They want leaders who will compare the Democratic Party to Nazi Germany. This is what a lot of Republicans want out of their politics right now. And I just think that is dangerous unto itself.
It sounds like to me that their politics are saying the quiet thing out loud.
Right. Yeah. And I think there is a significant number of Trump supporters who want the quiet part said out loud and like Trump because of that, because he
absolutely
rattle some cages and say these outlandish things. And it doesn't matter how many, you know, you know, you could have the most spotless policy platform and best argument and whatever. But I think sometimes the rhetoric that Trump spews from the pulpit at his rallies and things like that, that is what so many Republican voters want out of their politics in the year 2024.
And they're just giving it to them. If you're just joining us, Dan Schaefer is our guest, as he is every Friday at this time, from the award-winning Recombobulation area. I highly recommend that you subscribe to it. Dan does great work, and along with your collaborators as well. Wisconsin Democratic Party Convention is in Milwaukee this weekend. We haven't really heard all that much about it.
Yeah, kind of flying under the radar, but I think it's interesting that they're, you know, with we've so much talk about the RNC in Milwaukee this summer. I think it's no coincidence, it seems, that the state Democratic Party is holding its convention in Milwaukee this weekend. I'll be attending, so if there's any of the listeners out there who want to, you know, just talk about what's next for the Democratic Party, you know, I'd be happy to say hi. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what Democrats in Wisconsin have to say, because we know Wisconsin is one of the handful of swing states that's going to determine the presidential election, determine the Senate majority. And we also know down ballot, we have this really unique opportunity with new maps and everything that's bringing as well. So I think, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what people have to say at this convention. There are a couple keynote speakers from outside of Wisconsin. DNC chair Jamie Harrison is going to be speaking, and as is Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker as well, who is going to be speaking at the convention. So I think it's going to be a really interesting interesting opportunity to see where people stand on a variety of different issues, see what people are putting out there as their message, and see what the party is looking like with less than 6 months to go before this make or break election.
Well, and there's going to be a whole bunch of new faces too at the convention, because Democrats now are running in 97 of 99 assembly seats. When is the last time that happened?
Yeah, it's been a really long time since anything even approached this level of competition from Democrats in state legislative elections. You know, I reported a couple weeks ago that Democrats had a candidate in all 16 state Senate districts, and I know they were trying to go for all 99. They got 97 of 99 in the assembly, which is really, really impressive. The work that, you know, leader Greta Neubauer and the team there has worked on for the Assembly Democrats. And I think, you know, with new maps, part of that promise was we're going to see more competitive districts, and now we're going to see more candidates. You know, I preview every race on the ballot in the Wisconsin State Legislature. And part of that preview in the past was looking at all of the uncontested races. There were, you know, about a dozen or so uncontested races in the assembly that Democrats didn't have a candidate for. To shrink that number to two, I think it's just super, super impressive and really encouraging for Assembly Democrats this cycle.
It is. And it's just, I think it's really refreshing to see so many people who want to get in and do something.
Right. And I think that's a big deal, too. People want to get, you know, off the sidelines, so to speak, and get into the fight. And even if it's a district that, you know, is deep red, you know, part of the building the infrastructure for long term lasting political change is the ability to compete everywhere and give people a voice everywhere in these elections. And I think it's just been tremendously important to the candidate recruitment here and a really impressive job done by Assembly Democrats.
Absolutely.
Because even in the deepest of deepest red places in the deepest red states, there are still people out there who don't want to vote for those candidates. And you're giving them the opportunity to share their voice. Even if they get blown out, they still get to share their voice. And that's the great part of the vote. And that's the great part of having fair maps.
Well, and I think that's why Justice Janet Protasiewicz won by such an enormous measure, because Wisconsinites don't like cheaters. And we just want things to be fair and have a fair shot and be able to have a fair fight.
Yeah.
We're going to continue talking with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area, so stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Cleveland.
Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform Elon continues to actively ruin. Just a reminder, next week, Todd Alba and I are going on the road. We are taking our shows on the road. On the road with Jane and Todd, Tuesday through next Friday. So next Tuesday, I'll be in Madison. I'll join Todd on his show. He'll join me on my show. Greg, you will still be joining us from the ARP Waukesha headquarters.
For your show, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes, yes, yes.
I wasn't sure if
no,
I was
No, we're not going to keep you on for another. You need to work 10-hour days. Say 12. Let's work 12-hour days.
Okay,
no.
Boss.
No, no, no. Wednesday, Todd and I are going to be in Richland Center at the Band Shelter in Crosscut Park. On Thursday, we stop by Shift Cyclery and Coffee Bar in Eau Claire, and we wrap everything up on Friday in my favorite place where I have yet to go, Amory.
Amory, Amory.
And we'll be at the Daniel's. Ooh, nice flourish there, Calvin. That was nice. We'll finish things up at the Danielson stage at Michael Park in Amory. So if you can, come out and join us and say hi. Bring along a lawn chair and sit and watch the show, listen to the show.
Yeah.
Love to meet you. That's the whole thing about getting out on the road and being able to sit down and talk to folks. So I'm really looking forward to going out with Todd. He's done so much work setting this up. I applaud him. I applaud him. So anyway, Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area, as he is every Friday at this time. Phil Rocco has a piece on the state Supreme Court. They haven't been all that busy, have they, lately, Dan?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting dynamic that they've had there. There was a story out a couple weeks ago using some data collected by Marquette University history professor Alan Ball. And Alan Ball has a blog that looks at everything happening at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And one of the things that he noted there was that in this first term, for the new liberal majority on the Supreme Court was that the Wisconsin Supreme Court will likely only hear 16 cases this term, a number that that Ball said is, quote, stunningly unparalleled in the recent history of the court. In prior terms, the court had routinely decided more than 40 cases in a 1 year term. This year, only 16. So I think, you know, one of the things that I wrote about in the immediate wake of Janet Protasiewicz's election last year was that it was this earthquake seismic event for Wisconsin politics. Obviously, you know, we talked about the state legislature in the segment before and what the redistricting decision has led to for that. But beyond that, it doesn't seem like, but there's not as many cases that have been ruled upon, but I think this is, it may be less indicative of the court doing less, but just more, you know, that some of these things take a lot of time to work themselves through. It was kind of this reset moment for the court and having a new majority. And so even though we had this earthquake event, as Phil notes in his piece, the pace of change can be a little bit more like plate tectonics, where things take a little bit longer and move slowly, and they have to go through the proper process and appeals courts and circuit courts and whatever it might be before it gets to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So I think less activity, but I think the types of cases and issues that the court is focused on some incredibly important things. You know, we mentioned the redistricting case. There's a whole lot of voting rights related issues there. Case on the legality of ballot drop boxes, I think, will be probably decided very soon. That the term for the court ends at the end of June. So we're going to have a few more rulings before the end. There were also some oral arguments on the challenge to Act 10. There's abortion rights cases. And so there's a whole lot that is certainly happening, even if those kind of raw numbers of the number of cases being heard isn't quite the same as it was in prior years.
One could almost say that they're acting judiciously.
Yeah.
Oh, but, there you go.
I see you did play on words. Smart. that's the thing, Dan, I find interesting is that, you know, especially working in local government, people think like, we need to do this thing now. This thing needs to happen right now. Why isn't this thing done now? It's like, I remember always using the comparison when people would talk about legislation on a national scale. I would say at a local scale, do you know how long it takes to put up a stop sign in a city? It takes a really long time. Now imagine a piece of legislation or a court case with tons of paperwork, tons of discovery, tons of nuance, and just saying,
it's done.
It's done.
Yeah.
That would be insanity. So yes, it's glacial for a reason, and that's what makes it good.
But I think at the same time too, there is now the factor of the next Wisconsin Supreme Court election, which is now less than a year away.
Oh God.
Ann Walsh Bradley is retiring at the end of her term. And she's been kind of a cornerstone of the liberals on the courts for a very long time. A key part of this liberal majority, the 4-3 liberal majority. And once again, we're going to have an election that will determine the balance of the court. And, you know, the last one was probably the most expensive judicial election in American history. I imagine the next one will be as well. And I know Brad Schimmel is running for that, the former Republican attorney general.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a number of other candidates jumping into the race as well. And so, you know, even as this, or you had this earthquake, this huge change, it's, you know, there's a lot of rulings still pending, a lot of big ones that have been decided, like the one on redistricting. But I think the clock is ticking. And so there's no guarantee that this liberal majority will extend, you know, beyond next year as well. And, you know, as much as I think the Democrats and liberal leaning groups have a pretty good chance of keeping that seat, there's no guarantees for any of it. So I think you have to maximize the window of opportunity and really keep that pedal to the gas and as far as the opportunity to make those changes.
Dan Schaefer joins us every Friday at this time. He is the creator of the award-winning Recombobulation Area. Subscribe. He does great work and has great columnists as well. Thank you so much, Dan. We'll see you in a week.
Thanks so much. Be well.
Stay with us. News is coming up next when we return. It's the Scotty Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.